Hey guys, welcome to Full Out Flying Solo. I feel like I said that with normal confidence. I am going to get better at this. I am getting better at it, actually. Hey guys, welcome to Full Out Flying Solo with me, Brittany Ross. I realized like this week I've had a few single friends. I've been in these conversations where people have been like, how did you know your husband was the guy for you and all this stuff? And I think I've talked about it on here that like I really didn't think my husband was the guy for me at the beginning because I had this idea of who I thought the guy for me was. And I feel like it really led me astray dating wise in my past. Like when I was younger, like I dated bad guys. Like I thought I was going to date, you know, like in middle school, high school, my boyfriend was a drug dealer and he like went to we called it the bad kids school. It was like the annex across the street. And I thought it was so cool that I dated a guy who like went to the bad kids school, which I feel like you're probably not allowed to call it the bad kids school now. It's sounds like something that would get you canceled. It's probably like the school for kids who need a little extra support. I don't know, but I don't know. I just like was into being rebellious at that time of my life. But then I also was living in Texas on and off. Like my family moved a lot. So we would always move back to Texas for a few years. And my mom's from Texas. So I thought for sure whoever I married was going to like have like a tight pair of Wranglers. I like was like, he's going to drive a pickup truck. And I really, really thought I was going to marry. I really thought like, okay, I'm going to marry like a country singer because my dream was to be the girl in a country music video, which is like such a dumb dream to have because all that girl does is like sit in the pickup truck with her boots like out the window and just is like with the wind blowing in her hair. And I was like, that's what I wanted. Honestly, I forgot about this. But when I moved to LA, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. When I moved to LA, I took one of these like acting marketing classes and the teacher said like we had to have a goal, write down our goal. And I put that my goal was to be the girl in a country music video. And then she said that we had to tell 5 people a day our goal. And that's how it would happen. So I started telling everybody, like even like the barista at Starbucks, I'd be like, hey, yeah, my goal is to be the girl in the country music video. And they were probably like, what are you doing here? And then, oh my gosh, this was like back when we would send things in the mail, I think I sent like 10 headshots to record labels in Nashville. This is very full out of me. Like I committed to my goal. It still hasn't come true yet, but I sent like 10 being like, hey, if you're ever looking for a girl to be in a country music video, I didn't hear anything back, but I just thought that was I just saw myself like running through a field in a cowboy hat and like jean cut off shorts. Like I saw that for myself. And it's not too late, guys. It could still happen. What if I get that job from this right now? Because I'm still telling people my goal of being the girl in a country. I feel like that acting coach would be proud of me that she's like, you got to say it out loud. You got to say what you want out loud. I want other things now, guys. I thought that was going to be my life. I moved to LA. I was dating like a bunch of guys who like looked like they could play a rugged cowboy in a TV show. But then they would get a flat tire and they'd call AAA. Those kind of guys, you know, who you're like, wait, what? Like, you don't know how to like work with your hands and like do stuff. And they're like, no, I'm beautiful and I'm on the CW. And I was like that. I was like dating those kinds of people. And they're like, I just got a manicure and I spend more time getting ready than you in the morning, but to look like rugged. And it just was like crashing and burning a bit. And then I was in this women's group. I was into a lot of groups, clearly, when I came here. I always say I have the personality that's, like, very susceptible to joining a cult because every cult documentary every cult documentary I watch until like episode three, I'm like, what is wrong with this? This seems so beautiful and fun. So I was in this women's group and the leader of the group suggested this book to us to read, and it was called Getting to I Do. And if you look it up, Getting to I Do is like ancient. I feel like I don't even know what year it's from. We should find out what year it's from. But her advice is so antiquated. Is that a word? Antiquated? Her advice is so antiquated that you... But I read it and I was like, okay, all my friends in Texas are like on their second marriages at this point. And I was like 24, 25, I feel like. And everybody was getting married. And I was like, okay, I'll read this Getting to I Do book that this women's group told me to read. And all the chapters in the book are like, wear makeup. Guys like it when you wear makeup. If you're like, wear makeup at night, wear makeup in the morning, reapply. If you're at the beach, wear makeup. If a big wave hits you, make sure you redo your makeup. And then it also said like, be agreeable. Guys like it when you're agreeable, like agree to whatever they think you should do. And so I'm reading how to, and then I also had moved here pretty recently. I'd probably been here for like 4 or 5 years. And so I was like really into manifesting, because if you live in LA, you have at least 1 year of your life where you're super into manifesting. And I was in that year of my life. I like ate at this place called Cafe Gratitude that we have in LA, and all of the dishes are titled like, I am magical, I am whole, I am grateful. And you have, when they come to like take your order, you have to say, I'll have the I am magical, I'll have the I am whole. And then they say, when they bring it to you, they're like, you are magical, you are whole. It's so dumb. I can't even say it without like my whole body cringing on the inside. Turns out Cafe Gratitude people are all in a cult and they all live together in like a cult. I don't know if that's 100% true, so don't come at me for that, but that's the gossip that I got. I don't know what we're doing about fact checking what I'm saying on this podcast, but I'm just telling you guys things that I've heard. So it's not fact per se, but I feel like I've heard some things from reliable sources. And then I was in that year of my life. I was like super into positive thoughts. I'm reading how, what is it called? Oh my God. Why is my mind blanking? Getting to I Do. Oh my gosh. I just said it 2 seconds ago and I can't remember it again. That's, I think, what happens to me now that I have 2 kids. I was reading Getting to I Do and I am like thinking positively, and I meet this like, you know, CW actor looking model guy in a singing class. I was in a lot of classes and I am like, oh, I really like this guy. I'm gonna, and I feel like I like manifested him with my positive thoughts. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do my Getting to I Do, like what my book is telling me to do and all this stuff. And so he invited me to a spiritual gathering that he was hosting in his living room or like his friend's living room or something. And I was like, okay, great. Be a group. Like I can do that. Like I'm from Texas. I'm very Christian. I know how to go. My family's very Christian. My, it was like, I know how to go to a spiritual gathering. Like my grandma was like kind of a big deal in the Christian poetry section of Barnes and Nobles in the 90s. I was like, I got this. Like this is a place for me to shine. And I go to this spiritual gathering and I remember the book had said like, make sure he knows that you're going to be like a good mom one day and stuff like that. So I remember talking to like all the kids that were at this thing to be like, I'm going to be a good mom. And it also said to like show that you'd be a good host. And I looked up how to make a fruit plate on Pinterest and I spent like 3 hours making a fruit plate and I've like never sliced a peach in my entire life until this point. And so I get, but it worked. And like this guy like fell for this false version of me. And I was like, I did this with my thoughts and my book. It's all working out. And we start dating and I was like, am I even really being myself? I feel like we went ice skating one time and like he went to tie my ice skate was untied and he went to tie my ice skate, and everything in me was like, I can tie my own fucking ice skate. But I was like, the book said to let guys do things for you. So I like let him tie my ice skate, and I was like, why am I letting him do this? But it was working for me. And then I, we'd been dating for like a few months or something, and he was like super spiritual, and he was newly spiritual, so he was like really into it. And he invited me to his house for a silent date. And I was like, what is a silent date? Like, I've never heard of a silent date, but I was like, just go with it. My book said that I'm supposed to go on, do what he says, it asks, you know? And so I go to his house for the silent date. This is like a story that I had like blacked out of my mind, and I forgot about it until like I was already married to Marco for maybe, I don't even know. I might have even been pregnant with Penelope at the point when I was like, oh my God. I was talking to a friend one day, and I was like, I forgot about this thing that happened to me. And I remember telling Marco this story where I was sitting when I told him, and I was like, I have to tell you something. It's super embarrassing. And like, you're already married to me though, so you can't get out of this. But I go over to this guy's house for the silent date. I can't remember the gate code to his apartment, and I'd been there a bunch, and I feel like he was like somebody who was always making me feel like a little bad about myself. Like, he's like he would have been like, I can't believe you can't remember the gate code again, kind of a person, which fine, but like, you don't have to be a dick about it. And so I was like, I can't ask. It's also a silent date. Am I supposed to text or not? And so I was like really brainwashed by this guy, and I asked like a neighbor let me in, and I don't even think I talked to the neighbor. And I went upstairs and I knocked on the door, and he like opened the door and silently. And he like nodded and smiled at me, and I was like, what the fuck are we doing? But, and also he was so spiritual, and whatever he was following said he wasn't allowed to drink or have sex. And I was like, but he said he could do it like once, have sex once a month maybe, because he was like trying not to break the rules. But I was like, I don't know when the month resets. Is it like on the first, or is it like in the middle of the month? Like, so I'm like, I don't really know what's happening here. Like, what, we can't talk, drink, or have sex, or maybe like, I was like, I don't know what's happening. So I just like follow him in. He like leads me upstairs, and then he sits me on the bed, and he just stares at me for like a very long time. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so uncomfortable. This is so uncomfortable. And then he's like, it's time for him to do silent prayers. And he was very into doing prayers. And he stood up on his bed. And because I think he liked to be closer to God, so he'd like stand on his bed and do his prayers. And I remember I just like, this is so embarrassing. I stood on the bed next to him, and then he like knelt. And so I knelt, and then he stood, and I stood, and then he knelt. And I was just like following along like an idiot. And I'm like, sure, he was praying for like world hunger to end, and I'm just praying for like this whole experience to end. And he like sits me back down. He goes to the bathroom. He like leaves, walks out of the room to go to the bathroom. And I was like, where is he going? Are we going to have sex? Like, it's the 15th or something. Is this the, I don't know what's happening. And he comes back holding a hairbrush. And then he silently brushed my hair. And the whole time he's brushing my hair, I kept thinking like, I should say something. This is super weird. I should talk. I think I should talk right now. I feel, this is so weird. But then I was like, nope, everybody's getting married. Like, keep your mouth shut and getting to, I do. And so I just like stayed silent. And then he like tucked me into bed as if I was a baby, and then like laid down next to me and fell asleep. And I remember like laying there staring at the ceiling being like, I should go. I should leave. I don't know. And then I talked myself into staying because I was like, who knows? Like, maybe if I go to sleep, I'll wake up and I'll feel like this was like a really positive experience. I'll feel different and changed in some way or something. Like, we looked into each other's souls the whole, I don't know. And I went to bed and I woke up and I did feel like different. I felt this like overwhelming feeling of like shame and embarrassment. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot. This was really I can't believe I did this. I can never tell anybody about this. I remember being like, I can never tell anybody about this. And then now I'm telling everybody about this. Oh no, my timer's going off. Wait. Oh, it stopped. I feel like I was like, I can't. I really was like, I can't tell anyone. And then I didn't. I didn't tell anyone, which is so crazy because I overshare all the time. So I must have really felt embarrassed about it. And I'm not like I don't keep everything like close to the vest. If you meet me, I'll just be like, well, here's all my stuff. And I didn't tell anyone. And he ended, you know, I was like, I can't, this is not the right guy for me. I thought that a few times and then he ended up breaking up with me multiple times. And the last time he broke up with me, he told me it was because his psychic saw him dating a brunette. And I was like, okay, that's LA guys for ya. And then I do remember one time he broke up with me. It was because I called AAA to change my tire. This brings it back to the AAA thing. I called AAA to change. I had a flat tire and I called AAA to change my tire. And he was like, I just feel like you're somebody who doesn't know how to do things for yourself. Like you. And I was like, I know how to change a tire. I also know how to call AAA to change my tire. Like my dad taught me two things. Like, well, I don't know. My stepdad taught me how to change a tire. My dad taught me how to set up a windsurf in his pool in the Woodlands, Texas. So I'm like, my dad didn't really teach me how to change a tire. My stepdad did. I also was joking with Marco that my dad won't listen to this because he could never listen to me talk for this long. So I could probably say whatever I want to say. I'm like, he's just like going to turn it off immediately. Okay, so anyways, he broke up with me this time because I called AAA to change my tire, which, why have AAA if you're not going to call them to change your flat tire? And so the next time we saw each other after we were like completely broken up, after like the millionth time, I saw him at this thing that we were both at, and he had a flat tire. And he called AAA. He was waiting outside with AAA. And the thing I regret most about this whole story is I didn't say anything about it at that point. I wasn't like, oh, it looks like he called AAA too, huh? So yeah, I think like after that, it took me a long time to get over him. And then I realized like, that's not the guy for me. And like, I'm not going to not be myself in whatever relationship I'm in. I'm like, I don't cook. I like kids, but if there's a bunch of adults at a party, I'm probably going to choose to talk to the adults. And I just feel like it was really good that it happened to me. And it did also make me know that I'm very susceptible to joining a cult. And I feel like I went like the total opposite way. Like my husband couldn't be more different. And it's so much better. I'm so myself in my relationship to a fault, probably. He's probably like, could you read that book? But anyways, I just feel like, dating is weird. I also dated a magician who was really good at making me feel invisible. So those were like my LA dating experiences. And then I met my husband and it all worked out. So you never know. All right, should we read some full out stories? I don't know if we'll keep this or not, but he's since apologized to me for that. I've run into this person and I did make a whole short film about it. So he probably saw it. He's an actor. And it's funny because I've told the story a few times and people are like, I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about. And without even knowing who I dated in the past. But I did run into him and he apologized to me for like how he treated me at that time. And he's like, I feel like I was taking a lot of my own stuff out on you. And it was really, really nice. But like, you know, I feel so far past that time in my life. Kita clearly thinks it was recent, but to me, it feels like a long time ago. But you know, people change, people grow, people go through things and you know, it's fine. Everything worked out.
Yeah.
I had a really weird experience and that's what life's about, right? That's what life is about, going on silent dates.
And now you get podcast content about it.
Like, you want me to be silent? Okay, let me go talk about this to everyone, make a short film out of it, talk about it on a podcast. Like, that's what happens if you ask a woman to be silent for one night. That's how scorned you'll get. Okay.
Yeah, I think you've used this experience before as like an example for me as to like expand my dating horizons in the sense of like, yes. I feel like you've referenced this as like, it's not always who you picture. Like,
yeah, stay you open think to the you nice want to be with that person so badly, but then in retrospect, you'll look back and be like, and I went on a silent date with that person. Like, he really had a hold on me. I really let myself go.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But it was more me. Like, I look back at it now and I'm like, oh, that was something about me because I also did it. Like, I agreed to do all of those things. So it's not just like, he was, you know, I needed to do that so that I could come out of it and be like, yeah, I don't do those kinds of things. You know?
And how long did you date for again?
I think like a year on and off or something, maybe in total with all the times he broke up with me.
Okay. Okay. So we have some full out stories. One of them is about exes and relationships. Oh, so I think this is good. Okay. The first one though was from Alex. So hi, Full Out team. Here's a little throwback Full Out story. When I was 9, I made my dad record me on our VHS camera lip syncing to Sharpay's song from High School Musical 3 for 5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
I used my mom's fitness step up as the stage and matched every single frame from the movie. He ended up pressing the record at all the wrong times and half the video was of his foot.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, how is that dating? Is that
dating? No, dating's later. There's another full story about dating.
Wait,
no. This is about a dad and daughter.
This is just a dad and a daughter. What are you talking about?
No. Okay. There's a dating one at the end. Okay. Yeah.
I like that. I feel like that I resonate with that a lot because I was obsessed with the Olsen twin movies growing up. And there was this one movie called Holiday in the Sun. And I remember when I was in high school, sitting in my office, our family office where we had dial-up internet because that's what we did, and freeze-framing the movie at every frame and writing down their outfits and then going to the mall with that list and looking for those exact outfits.
That was my shopping list. Writing a Pinterest, kind of.
I was doing like pre-Pinterest, like handwritten notes from Holiday in the Sun, the Olsen twins.
Was it you or your sister that told people you guys were the Olsen twins?
My sister told everyone in kindergarten that we were the Olsen twins, and all these parents bought this Scholastic book of the Olsen twins because we really looked like them. People would like stop us, especially my sister. But we were so close in age that like we were very similar in size. And they'd be like, I know who your girls are to my mom all the time. And she'd be like, no, you don't. They're not them. And then she told everyone in her class we were. And all these parents were like, oh, we bought your girl's book. And my mom was like, that is not what? No. But my sister was really popular because she told everyone she was the Olsen twins.
Yeah, of course. She was thinking ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is from Sophia. Hello, love the most recent episode with your sister. I was a high school cheerleader, but not for the football team, a competitive one, of course. So back in my cheer days, I was both a base and flyer, but basing was less of my strong area, so I needed to practice. I basically blackmailed my sister into practicing with me and letting me base her. It should be noted that my sister is deeply uncoordinated. Anyway, she fell and fractured her back. Whoops.
What? I did not see that turn coming.
Oh my gosh.
That's something you could only do to your sister. And then you're probably, I feel like the sister that fractured the other sister's back was probably pissed at that sister for getting hurt.
She was like, probably.
I can't practice with you anymore.
Because she was the cheerleader. So she was full out and she was like, you're weak for fracturing your back.
Yeah. That's so crazy. One time I was doing a handstand in the gym and Chelsea, my sister, was doing a handstand too next to me and she fell on me and almost broke my arm. And I lost my mind on her. Like, I was so mad at her because my arm was totally fine. But the way I would never have done that to just a teammate, friend, or anything, I wouldn't have been mad. I would have been like, it's okay, it was an accident. You know?
But no, sisters is like different levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, last one. This is the dating one.
Okay.
Not the dad and daughter one. Okay, Casey. Hey, I went full out stalker this week. I think my ex has a new girlfriend. I can't do the stalking from my account, of course, so I had to create a fake account. But then the fake account needed to look legit so he wouldn't block it. So I had to create more accounts to follow the fake account. Now I have 6 incognito Instagram accounts.
Oh my gosh, can you follow Full Out Podcast from all of your accounts?
Yes, yeah, like, get Full Out and like all our photos
from all of your accounts, please. That's crazy. I mean, but so having 6 followers, does it make you look fake? Still, that seems like very few.
I feel like that's still fake, but I guess it's still like then it won't get flagged by Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
I may know this because I may have also, I've done something like this before. So
Oh my gosh.
It makes it look more legit, I will say.
This is terrifying. I feel like of your generation of people with phones and what how you guys use it. So I would never think to do that, to make a bunch of fake accounts. I wouldn't even know how to. That feels so overwhelming.
Well, because you can't
me.
Have someone know that you're viewing their story. Like once you
break
up.
Do you watch who looks at your stories?
Oh, all the time. I scroll every day to see who views my stories.
I don't really.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I view it and I've been like, so my ex's girl best friend still views my stories 4 months after the breakup. And I've never met this girl before, ever. I never met her while we were dating, nothing. And like, she just like views my, anyway, I'm now obsessed with her. And so I'm viewing her stories too, but from my
friends?
Fake account. No, I don't know her. I've never met her before. So
no,
she's my ex's
best
friend.
No, but do you want to become friends with her?
Now I want to. Like, I'm obsessed with her. Like, I've, like.
Oh, my gosh. I hope.
Yeah.
You should just DM her.
I should.
I have a friend
just be friends with her. Yeah.
So one of my friends, like, back in the day was the one who, like, owned the Princess Party company that I was a part of. She was also, she was married to, I think. I don't know. She dated or was married to, very briefly, one of our other friends' boyfriends. And they had like kept, they had were in such like similar circles that the new girlfriend reached out to her and was like, I think we should have coffee and just be friends. And they became really good friends.
See, this is what I want to do with this girl. I want to like befriend her. I don't even care about this ex anymore. I just want to
try
be friends
it and keep us updated.
I will.
On if you do it.
Yeah,
do
I'll
it
keep
for
reporting
the podcast.
Back. I'll do it for the podcast. It's going
to
be our investigative story.
And be like,
developing
I want to like hang out because I feel like if you guys both, like you probably have something similar that would like link the two of you together. If he likes hanging out with her and you, like
yeah, I think so. I'll keep you posted.
Oh my gosh, my mom and my ex stepmom became really good friends.
There we go. I could take pointers from your mom.
My dad, my ex stepmom was from Venezuela. I have a sister who's my half sister, who's her daughter and my dad's, and they moved to Texas, and we were all at one point living in Houston, Texas. And I have 2 half sisters. One's my mom's daughter, one's my dad's daughter. They're a year apart from each other.
Wow. Okay.
So my ex stepmom and my dad used to drop my half sister off at my mom's house. So like those sisters are really close because they grew up playing together because my mom and my stepmom became friends.
That's amazing.
And like there's all these like, you know, I feel like at funerals, like all the exes get together and are like, oh my God, we all are really good friends now because there's, you know, shared history with a person.
It's easier to just be civil about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The guy who I went on that silent date with dated one of my husband's best friend's new girlfriend, like not new anymore. They've been together for a long time and they live together and stuff. But
whoa.
Like they both have dated somebody who dated that guy.
That's like, and LA is such a small town. It will always be such a small town.
It is. I know. At a certain point, there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
You've probably dated this guy too at this point. So
who knows? Like, awesome. Well, that's all our stories for today.
Yay. Thanks. Keep sending us your stories. They're so fun. You can send them to thoughts@fulloutpod.com. You can DM us on Instagram @fulloutpod. You can also send us a voice memo. That's really fun. But yeah, thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.